Smetters.
Hey. How was everybody's Christmas?
Christmas. Ours was really good.
Yes, it was.
It was like, I really enjoyed Christmas Eve because like we made so much food and then we just watched movies.
We walked around the Christmas tree.
That. And we got to watch Violent Christmas. Y'all, if you've never seen Violent Christmas, it was such a good movie. Like, I loved it. And Hopper or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know his real name. I just call him Hopper from Stranger Things. He was like perfect for that role. It was amazing. It was so good. But you know how I am with like my violent movies and stuff. I love them. Mm-hmm. But you had a good Christmas?
I did.
Cool.
Last time I think we were on here, it was right before Christmas. So we just needed to tell everybody we hope that they had a good Christmas.
Yes.
That you got everything you wanted and not coal.
Yes.
And, of course, we have decided to go ahead and do this again Saturday night because this will be the last episode of 2023.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
Yeah, we're trying to get back on schedule, you guys. Instead of them coming out on Sunday night, try to get them out, you know.
It's just been crazy lately because we've just been so tired and didn't want to, you know.
Yes. I don't know why. Like, we have been insanely tired.
You've gotten old.
Oh.
And so, you're in bed by 9 o'clock every night.
Sure am. We're doing old people's New Year's tomorrow.
I'm surprised you're not at Shoney's at 4:30 for dinner.
When the clock hits 10, it's Happy New Year. So, you sent me, I thought it was an article, but it was really just a picture.
Oh. I send you so much stuff.
Well, it was about scientists, how they uncovered a grave from the 17th century. And it was a lady.
Oh, from Poland. The
yes.
The vampire thing.
Yeah, like it was, they believed she was a vampire and they had her like a bar, an iron bar.
If there are real vampires out there, hit us y'all up. Come please. Let me join you.
Yes, we would love to be vampires, but rich vampires.
Yeah, I'm not going to be poor forever.
No, that would be awful. Yeah. I'm going to.
You're going to what?
Get a drink of my
C4. Oh, okay. Weird
kid. These things are so good. Mm. So good.
Someone's gonna order a pizza 5 minutes before New Year's, and when they arrive, say, "I ordered this a year ago."
I hate when people do that. When they're like, "See you next year."
Oh, I can't wait to do that for you.
You will too. You totally will.
Haven't seen you in a year.
Well, y'all, tonight we're waiting on. See, found a puppy. I know you are excited. We're waiting on it to be born, though. Like, it's kind of like we're not pregnant, but we're waiting on her to get pregnant and have our puppy because we're promised one of them. Y'all, it's a Shorkie, and I am so stinking excited. Okay? Want me to tell him the name?
I guess.
Do you love the name?
No, because it's not going to be that. It's going to be Axel.
No, it's not. That is terrible. Y'all, our Shorkie's name is going to be Grover Perseus, the first of his name, father of dragons. What? Is that too far?
Yeah, that's just dumb.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at Grover for now, but we'll add the rest later. Okay, so, do you know anything about tonight's story? Okay, well, it's kind of neat because I got a message and on Instagram, and it was a friend of mine, and she was like, she sent me a video of this place, and it was called the Olympic Peninsula, I believe. And she was like, I grew up here. I love this place. And the video was about this, like this murder that took place there. And so we're going to do the murder, but the place is still haunted from the murder. And I was like, she was like, I've never heard of this. So I was like, I've totally heard this story before, and we're going to do it just so you can learn all about it. So I'm so excited about doing this story.
Okay. Well, I'm excited.
You sound it. Okay. So we are doing the Lady of Crescent Lake.
Is that like the Crescent Wolves?
Nope.
Oh my gosh, look.
What is that, a Maltese?
Yes. Look how cute he is.
Okay, well, it's funny that you said wolves, like werewolves. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, Crescent Wolves.
What's that from?
The Originals.
Oh, okay. No, but this takes place like a few miles from Forks.
Oh, hey. So, have you seen this video circulating around before we get into this? So, remember the guy who supposedly filmed the giant?
Yeah.
Up on the mountain or whatever? Yeah. Okay, and then like he had several videos or whatever. And then, so I was watching this clip on TikTok the other night. And they showed another video of him where, like, I swear, he was kidnapped or something. But, like, he was up against the wall, and he's like, guys, all my videos are fake. I was just trying to get attention. And he looks over to the right real quick, and he looks back at the camera. And, you know, and he was like, you know, I was just trying to get publicity and this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And then, all of a sudden, he's making another video as he's kind of like escaping his house or something. I don't know. Like he's like a bug out type situation.
Right.
And he's like, I was forced to say that all my stuff is real. I got to go. And now he's, and then they said on TikTok, he's dead.
Shut up.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Is that real?
I don't know. I think I sent it to you on TikTok. But
yeah, like, you sent it to me, but like I swear, you had already sent me that, so I was like, I didn't watch it.
Oh yeah, that's a new one.
It's about a new one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know, like it's totally not freaking me out, but like
that is crazy though. Yeah. Like I've been wanting to do an episode on giants because we've talked about this a lot, but y'all, there's not a lot to go on. There's really not.
No, I mean, there's stuff out there, especially like that door opening thing that people keep going to and
together,
you know, but evidently this guy, you know,
he stepped on something.
Yeah. The Men in Black got his ass.
Yeah, they did. That's so freaking scary.
Now take it with a grain of salt. I don't know if he's really dead or not, but the people on TikTok said he was.
Hmm.
So we'll need to do some research on that.
Absolutely. I'm going to, cause I would really like to know, because you know, him coming back and saying, oh, it wasn't, it's like that girl on the plane.
Yeah, but see, though, he was like up against the wall, and you could tell he looked over at somebody a couple times,
mm-hmm.
and then looked back and was like, you know, I was just doing this for attention, blah, blah, blah. And then another one came out where he's like escaping or whatever. It's like, it's all real. I was forced to say that. And then now he's dead.
You know what, though? That would piss me off. So, but like, I don't know what I'd do in that situation. I'd probably break down and just cry or whatever. But I don't know if I'd be able to make a video in front of the whole world and be like, oh, I just wanted attention, y'all. That would piss me off like no other.
Right.
If somebody was like, oh, just tell me you're lying and you're faking it, you know? Fuck off with that. Like, I could never, like, go in front of the world and be like, everything I said and all these videos I made, they were fake. Like, right. I couldn't do it. But I guess you never know what you're going to do when, yeah, I guess there's a gun or whatever pointed at you, you know?
I wanna.
So I would like to think I'd be brave and stubborn and, like, fight them off like a freaking ninja or something. But I don't know. Okay.
So, but anyways, I forgot to tell you about that. And
That's so crazy.
I figured you didn't watch what I sent you, so.
Well, it was because I thought I'd already seen it. Because it was him standing in front of that mountain again. So, when I saw what... I know what you're talking about. I'll go back and look at it. Okay. So... Yes, the Lady of Crescent Lake, and you said the Crescent Wolves, but fun fact, this actually takes place a few miles outside of Forks.
So Forks is a real place.
Forks is a real place in Washington. And I'm going to go over a little story from the, I do not know how to say this, the Quileute tribe, the Indian tribe that was in Twilight. Isn't that cool? So, yeah. Like, all the Native American stuff that was in the movie, it's, I mean, I don't know how true that is, like, what they believe in or anything, but the, like, the name and stuff is in Forks, and the push that they go to, the beach and everything,
yeah,
that place is real. It's actually called The Push.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Right? Like, I saw so many pictures, and I was like, I remember that. It was amazing.
You need some more C4.
I need some more C4. Hang on just a second.
Have you ever noticed that every time there's like a picture of Taylor Swift like sitting like on stage performing,
uh-huh.
The way she holds the microphone, it looks like she's farting into it. She always got the microphone back by her butt.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're not going to talk bad about Taylor Swift. The whole world is Swifties right now. So, okay. So, as I said, tonight we have an odd story about Crescent Lake. Now, the lake is no stranger to bloody stories. And according to legend, y'all, I don't know how to say these names, and I am so sorry. Please do not yell at me about this, but the Clallam, Klallam, and the Quileute tribes fought a bloody battle beneath Mount Storm King. Before we go any further, I want to tell you the legend of the Soul Duke Hot Springs located in Olympic National Park. Because I just thought the legends were really cool of this place. It has nothing to do with the story. The legend's just pretty awesome. Because, like, this whole story takes place in Olympic National Park. Which, this place, the pictures are absolutely just breathtakingly beautiful. And it looks like, you know where, and I'm sorry, Washington, that I keep making Twilight references. It's all I've got. But you know where Bella and Edward are like jumping from tree to tree and all that?
Right.
That's exactly what it looks like. Like the forest is so beautiful. So.
You want to hear a fun fact?
Does that have to do with Olympic National Park?
Yep. Polar bears yell when they poop.
That is awesome.
Look.
So.
He starts yelling.
Okay. 12 miles down Soul Duke Road, you'll find healing waters of hot springs. Native American legend says the springs were created by dragons.
Dragons. Where are my dragons?
Once there were two dragons. One lived in Soul Duke Valley, and the other in El Hall Valley. Neither dragon knew of the other's existence. One day, they were exploring the forest when they came face to face on top of the ridge separating the two valleys. They exploded with anger as each accused the other of invading its territory. The fight was brutal as the dragons thrashed and ripped at each other to win back their territory, and after years of fighting and clawing each other, they grew frustrated. Their strength was evenly matched, and neither could win. The dragons both admitted defeat and crawled back to their caves in their respective valleys and are still crying over being defeated. The dragons' tears are the source of the hot springs. I think that's such a cool story. Mm-hmm. Anything that has to do with dragons, I'm all about. Like, I love dragons. So, okay. Back to Crescent Lake. The mountain became angry and broke off a chunk of rock from his peak and threw it into the valley over the battlefield. The rock killed the warriors and dammed the river, creating Crescent Lake. Generations of Native Americans would not go near the lake because of the legend. It was said that Crescent Lake never gave up its dead until one day. July 6, 1940, two fishermen, Louis Rolfe and his brother, were having a nice, relaxing afternoon on Lake Crescent, located in Olympic National Park in Washington. They see something. It's floating on the shoreline. It was a good size. At first, they thought it was like a large log floating around, but they decided to go a little closer. Maybe it was some kind of dead animal or something. But once they came up on it, they saw that it was a woman's body. The fishing trip was over. She had been wrapped in two strap blankets and tied with rope. She was wearing a green dress, and her body was very well preserved. Lake Crescent is 624 feet, and it's fresh water. Usually, when bodies are found floating in the water, they are not very well preserved at all. If the water is deep that the body is in, it will slow down putrefaction. Sorry, I can't pronounce that word. Which is basically the breaking down of the body. The cold water also helped because not as much bacteria can live in cold water. So that helps as well. When the body was looked at, they couldn't believe how well it looked. The skin felt like wax, and the doctor called it an ivory soap corpse because of the skin condition. This is called saponification, which converts fatty acids into soap. Since the body was submerged in the deep waters of the lake, the cold prevented the decomposition. And the salts and calcium in the water slowly converted the tissue into a material like soap. It's called adipocere.
I've never heard of that.
Just like soap, a body converted in this manner floats. And this one had apparently been weighted down. The ropes connected to the weights eventually decayed, allowing the body to float to the surface. Saponification stops the decomp in its tracks. Ooh. So this body...
Like mummified.
Yeah, exactly. It was in perfect, pristine condition. Basically, it looked like she had been dumped there probably the day before, something like that. So, after the two men found the body, they went to the Washington State Trout Hatchery, as one does when you find a dead body, and got the superintendent. They told him that what they had found, and he was like, you know, it's probably a moose, a dead animal, something like that, you know?
Right.
And he was like, I'll go back with you guys, and I'll figure it out. So, you know, when he went back, he looked, and he saw it actually was a body. He called Clallam County Prosecutor Coroner Ralph Smith and Sheriff Charlie Kemp. They rushed to the scene to assist in retrieving the body from the lake. The body was white as marble. They rushed it to the mortuary. They figured since the corpse was in such good shape, it had just happened, like I said.
But they had to do testing on it to find out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's just like, by looking at it, they were just like, oh, it looks great. The medical student present at the time was even quoted saying there was no real smell or even decay. The autopsy showed she was beaten and strangled to death. She was then hogtied with ropes and weighed down with rocks and thrown into the lake. They estimated she had been in the lake for 3 years.
Damn.
She wasn't like... because, you know, usually when... bodies are in water, they'll bloat.
Yeah.
Right? So there was no bloating, nothing. Like, she looked perfect. She was in her mid to late 30s, and that's all they had. They didn't have anything else to go on. they buried her as a Jane Doe, and after that, she became known as the Lady of Lake Crescent. They thought that they had figured out who she was, which was a lady named Marion Frances Stevens of Chicago. And she had disappeared in the Olympic National Park in September of 1939, which wouldn't make much sense because it was 1940 and she had actually been there for 3 years. So really, they just thought this because of the clothing. They were both wearing a green dress, and that's the only reason they thought that. Stevens had actually suffered a fractured neck vertebrae, and the Lady of the Lake did not have any kind of injury like that. So,
it's weird.
There we go.
You good?
Yeah, there was a thing that popped up on the computer. They even exhumed her body a couple times. Anytime, like, they would think of something, they would always dig her back up. Which, like,
multiple times?
Multiple times, which...
That's really strange.
That's really hard to do, too, right? Would, like,
I mean, yeah, and plus, wouldn't the family be pissed?
She was a Jane Doe.
Oh.
But, like, from my understanding, that's a tough thing to get done, is to get a body exhumed. Like, I want to say, I've listened to a lot of murder podcasts, and it's like a freaking act of Congress to get a body exhumed. It's insane. And them to do it several times, that's a lot. So they were, like, really trying with this case, which is impressive because you would think, like, once they found her and had her buried, they'd probably be done with it.
Yeah.
But with it being a murder case, they pressed on and they prevailed in the end. where was I? They wanted to identify her so bad and give her a name. They checked the missing persons reports and anything they could think of. And eventually, they focused on a waitress named Hallie Illingsworth. Now, Hallie was a pretty lady with dark hair in her late 30s. And 14 months later, her dentistry revealed her identity. The Lady of the Lake had a unique six-tooth bridge made of gold.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, beaten gold. What does that mean, beaten gold?
I don't know.
Pictures of the bridge were sent to more than 5,000 dentists. A dentist in Faulkton, South Dakota, recognized it immediately and identified the unknown woman. It was the 38-year-old waitress. she worked at Lake Crescent Tavern, and it was Hallie. She was no longer a Jane Doe. Aww. Let's learn a little bit about Hallie.
That's sad.
Hallie was originally born in Kentucky. She spent the majority of her life bouncing all across the country until around 1936 when she found herself in uniform waiting tables at a tavern in the Lake Crescent Lodge. If you get a minute, look up the Lake Crescent Lodge because it's still there.
Are we going to spend the night there?
It's absolutely breathtaking. Like, it is such a beautiful lodge. Like, when you think of going to, like, a lodge by the lake, like, that's exactly what you picture.
Are we going to stay there?
I would love to. It's supposed to be super haunted, y'all. Just a half hour away from her apartment in Port Angeles. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Isn't that where they went to go shop for prom dresses?
Yeah.
Okay. We are Twilight fanatics. Actually, Troy is.
I used to... That movie kind of was like my office thing where I just let it play in the black background. And
before
just,
the office, yeah. Yeah. Like, I would... Troy would have the day off. And I'd call him at home and I'd be like, what are you doing watching Twilight? And like, it was, and it wasn't necessarily because he just loved, which he does love the movie, I do too, but like he would be doing stuff on his phone or doing something around the house and he'd just put Twilight on. And because that was before like the whole Office thing came mm-hmm. about, where everybody watched The Office.
And I've watched The Office probably 75 times.
Oh my gosh. He will randomly quote it to me if I ask a question. And I'm just like, I don't know what you're saying right now. Anyway, she was 35 years old and despite her young age was a 2-time divorcee. Like most patterns, her unlucky streak.
She talked about
it. Oh my God. She gets beaten to death, by the way.
Oh.
Don't say that. Like most patterns, her unlucky streak in love wasn't about to end anytime soon. While working at the tavern, Hallie became acquainted with a local beer truck driver by the name of Montgomery, or Monty, J. Illingsworth, who often stopped at the tavern before heading back out on the road. Known for his charm, it didn't take Hallie long to fall in love, and the two quickly wed. It hadn't even been a year since Hallie established a home in the Olympic Peninsula. Almost immediately following their nuptials, Hallie started to coming to work covered in bruises, paired with broken teeth and black eyes. The newlyweds drunkenly fought often in their apartment and outside the tavern in the early morning hours, and 5 months after the wedding, still in what is now known as the honeymoon phase of the relationship timeline, that's when Hallie went missing. let's see. Where was I? Hallie was last seen on December 22nd, 1937. She went home to her apartment to wait for her husband to get home. As I said, his name was Monty. Monty had been at a party in Port Townsend. And he was a nasty drunk, if you haven't caught on yet. Investigators soon decided that he was the lead suspect in Hallie's murder. And eventually they tracked him down, living with another woman in Long Beach, California. He was immediately arrested. Which they couldn't charge him with anything, but he was a suspect.
How did they arrest him then?
Because he was basically the last person that saw Hallie. They needed him to come back so he could stand trial. Plus, it was like 1940, so you know what I mean? They could pretty much do what they wanted.
Except arrest.
Oh my gosh, I know who you're going to say.
On tax evasion.
Yes, on tax evasion.
Al Capone.
Al Capone, yeah. The Valentine's Day Massacre. Yes. Oh, we should do a gangster theme something one day.
A gangster ghost.
I love gangsters. Okay, so as I said, they tracked Monty down and he was living in Long Beach, California, and they brought him back. Monty told investigators that he had obtained an interlocutory divorce decree. And that he had last seen Hallie around Christmas of 1937. According to records, Hallie and Monty had been married in Seattle in June of 1936. And that she was, as I said, a divorcee. But her maiden name was Latham. People who knew the couple said they fought often. Usually over alcohol and over Monty's affairs. During one fight, the police had to break the couple up. And Hallie often showed up to work, as I said, with a myriad of bruises. During the trial, Monty contradicted himself in earlier statements and claimed that he had last seen Hallie December 22nd, 1937. He insisted Hallie had gone to work as usual that morning, but later on when she came home, he said they got in another argument. According to Monty, he left and went downtown. When he got home, he claimed Hallie was gone and he never saw her again. He told the court he was sure that she just left him. The topic of abuse came up often in the trial, and Monty confessed the fights did get physical. Quote, I struck Hallie. She also struck me. I never beat her up. I did not kill Hallie, he said. The prosecutor asked why he hated Hallie, and Monty denied he hated her. The prosecution then said, why did you beat her? The prosecution then told their theory to the court. Monty strangled Hallie at some point between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. before placing her body in the trunk of his sedan and driving to Crescent Lake to dispose of the body. Eventually, Monty was found guilty because of the rope that he used to bound Hallie. Earl F. Enos, managers of Port Angeles Distributing Company, which employed Monty, took the stand to identify the rope. He lent it to Monty, who never returned it. Monty was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to life imprisonment in the Washington State Penitentiary. He only served 9 years and was paroled. He then returned to California to live until he died in 1975. So, basically, people think that Monty did not act alone. That there was some kind of an accomplice that helped him with all of this. But it was never anybody that they could identify. But, yes, y'all heard me.
I mean, way back then, I mean, can you imagine how hard it was to solve crimes back then? Well, there's no cameras. There's no phones.
There's no fingerprints or DNA.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like that back then. You pretty much have to have somebody that says, I saw him do it, or they confess.
And also, if you didn't notice, what got him or how they got him was the manager saying that he never returned his rope. That's the only thing that got him. The rope, like, decomposed underwater, you know, while it was tied to Hallie. That's how she, like, floated to the top, was because, you know, there wasn't much of it left. So I don't even think they got any part of the rope back. So that's how they got him, and they gave him, you know, the life imprisonment, but 9 years was served.
It's crazy.
So crazy. But, you know, I didn't even see that he ever once said, you know what, you got me. I did do it. I never saw that. So maybe that's why he was paroled so early, because
he never confessed.
They didn't really have much to go on besides he was kind of a shit person, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, people like to blame the people that the public doesn't really like that much, you know? Speaking of getting out of jail, Gypsy Rose got out of jail.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. That has been all over the news, and I just listened to that story, and it is insane. But before I start on another topic, let's go over some of the hauntings. Now, for many, Lake Crescent is all about boating, fishing, and paddleboarding. But before it was a hot spot for fun, it had that troubled history. It holds many secrets, even to this day. An underground stream that runs between Lake Crescent and Lake Sutherland has never been explored, and experts believe it could be hiding the bodies of many missing people. The most common ghost sighting near Lake Crescent is the Lady of the Lake, which is Hallie Illingsworth. many people... Shoot. Dadgummit, this stupid phone. Now, to explore Lake Crescent, they'll go see it, and they will usually see a ghost of the Lady of the Lake. They have haunted hikes around it where it'll show you, like, the perfect spot to stand if you want to, like, catch a glimpse of her sometimes. Isn't that crazy? Like, a spot to look at the lake, like, the right spot, and you'll see her. also, did you ever look that place up, Crescent Lodge? Let me show you real quick, because it's absolutely beautiful, and it is so haunted from what I've read, because, like, they have staff stories. I just need a picture just so you can see real quick. I like the old picture of it. It looks like the house from what's that movie that I don't like? The Notebook.
Oh.
See?
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? But, like, there's an old picture of it that you can find from, like, when it was first standing, when I guess Hallie was waitressing there, And it's such a cool picture because it's old and in black and white and stuff. And it's very, very cool. And I'll try to find it and post it for you guys. Actually, something just hit me. I'm going to try to look it up real quick while we're on air. Because I didn't realize that it was Crescent Lodge that Hallie worked in. So when I looked up ghost stories, a lot of them were about the lodge. So, where was I? Okay. I'm going to read this story real quick. It's not long. It's just about some of the strange things that happen. And the national park is its own story in itself. Like, it's got so many hauntings going on. This is by Zuzu of the Wolves, A Summer of Strangeness in Rural Washington State. I work out in a very isolated stretch of the Olympic Peninsula of Washington State, and I've had an alarming amount of strange experience while out there. The basic things that happen are human screaming far away in the woods, and it's really dense forest with no trails. Hearing high-pitched voices say one or two words like thank you and again. And sometimes I'm all alone and sometimes my boyfriend will hear them too. There's a really upsetting presence that sometimes appears to be a tall shadow that crouches and peeks out from behind things in the dumpster area. And all but a couple of my coworkers have had unpleasant experiences while taking the recycling out. Another friend saw a face gliding by her in the window like it was on a skateboard looking straight in. Until recently, it's been mainly ghost happenings around here, but in the past week, we've had some things happen with strange lights. The first thing happened was my boyfriend and I waking up to our bedroom being flooded with an intense bright light. We just stared at each other while it was happening for a good 20 seconds, and then the light just flicked off and the room went back to pitch blackness. Our room backs up to a dense forest and we promptly looked outside to make sure nobody was there as soon as the light flicked off. Nothing but pitch black and no movement. Two nights ago, a coworker of ours was returning home late at night. And when he got out of his car, he saw an orange ball hovering over one of the housing units. It did a couple of loops and popped out of sight at the same time as he started feeling scared. Let's see here. That was one of the stories. But it seems like in the lodge, if I heard right, like, they'll see Hallie.
Yeah.
But she'll disappear real quick, you know, like just for a sec. But I'm guessing because Hallie did work there. But that the lodge is just amazing. I really want to go to it. It sounds like there is so much going on out there.
There's so many places I want to go after all the stories that you've done.
I know. Like, I think we should make a bucket list.
Not like the freaky haunted ones.
Right.
Like the poltergeist shit, but...
But like the festivals and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think we should make a total bucket list. I
totally think we need to go to the Mothman one.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. I would love that.
New Orleans vampire thing.
Oh, yeah. But we must go to Salem.
What was that?
I didn't burp. I was about... Y'all know what I do. I get nervous. Like, if I'm at work and I, like, have to talk to someone... Like, I always have to burp beforehand, and I'm so scared I'm going to when I start talking to him. But I'll say the dumbest things, y'all. I was talking to one of the customers, and I was like, all right, you have a good day tomorrow. And it, like, what is that? So stupid.
Maybe it was a holiday.
No, it wasn't. It was just me being stupid. Anyway, yes, Gypsy Rose just got out. What do you think about it?
I don't know.
I didn't know. Like, I knew a little bit about the story, And then I wanted to know the facts. So I started listening to one of the podcasts about Gypsy Rose. Y'all, that is a roller coaster of a story. It is wild. The stuff that that girl went through, the abuse, torture, all that crazy stuff. There's no way she's ever going to be normal. You know what?
I saw her first selfie, you know, that she posted.
I saw that too. And she is married. Who is she married to?
I don't know.
It's not the guy that murdered her mom.
I didn't know about all of it until people started posting that she was getting out of jail. So.
See, I didn't either. Like, I just knew that her mom kept her sick. I didn't even know that the mom died. I just learned that the other day. But I know a bunch of my friends are like, yay, Gypsy Rose is finally getting out. She can start her life. And I was like, what is happening? So, y'all, if y'all want to hear a good episode of it, I listened to, is it Red Handed Podcast? Then they were so good with it. Let me double check in case y'all do want to listen to it. Because they got, yeah, it's Red Handed. They were amazing. If y'all want to hear a good story about Gypsy Rose, they go through everything. All the abuse she went through, how it came down to her mother's murder and all that. Cause I didn't know anything about that. So, and even as a matter of fact, that actress Ruby Rose, like when I was looking up, like trying to figure out like a story for Gypsy Rose to listen to, I was like, Ruby Rose, like I had no idea. So I learned so much and it's absolutely insane. But yeah, you guys go give that a listen if you're a little behind on that like I was, because I think there's like a documentary and a movie too you can watch.
Oh really?
I'm sure there's a movie, but I would like to see the documentary. Just crazy stuff. I don't see how you could ever do that kind of stuff to a child. It's absolutely awful. But anyway, I would like to thank my friend. I didn't get her permission to use her name, but I wanted to thank her for giving us the idea of the story. I got pretty involved in it when I was going over it. And science, y'all.
Science.
Saponification, y'all.
Say, huh?
her body. That's what it was called, how it was like waxy and stuff. So I learned a lot. And that was the main thing of the story, I think, how her body was. It wasn't a very long story, but I need some ideas. You know?
We need some more games. People like games.
I love the games. I feel like I'm going to look up one of the games for next week and see what we can do there. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know it was kind of short this week, but we'll find a good scary game to do next week. And maybe I can talk to Troy into trying it out.
No.
Okay.
Maybe. No. Shit's hard enough right now. I'm not going to jinx something else to happen.
All right. Well, you guys bundle up, make good choices, and drink lots of water. We'll see y'all next week.
But hey, what? One other thing real quick.
What?
See you guys next year.
Oh, my God.
Guys, have a happy new year. Make sure that if you are out and about, get an Uber, call a friend, don't drink and drive. Have a safe and happy new year.
See you guys next year.
Bye.
Bye.